We've had just a wonderful conjunction of grand events today, which probably means that the service is going to go into overtime a little bit. I'll preach as short as I can, but I will point out that the Bears don't play again until August. Liz told the story, the gospel story, so well. I'm just going to read the last few verses. The encounter between Mary Magdalene and Jesus right outside the tomb. Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in high school, I got hold of a book written by Dale Carnegie, some guy that had been born decades before me. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I thought, man, this is like the best thing I have ever read. And one of his rules for winning friends and influencing people is that everyone has their own favorite word, and that favorite word is their own name. So you should use their name when you talk to them. I picked up on this really fast. I got really good at this. In fact, I was pretty awesome at using people's names pretty much all the time until my mother pulled me aside and said, "Greg, I know you read this book. I know you're into this." She said, "But you know, I hate to say this, you're sounding a little bit like Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver." You don't know Eddie, he's the one who would always say, "Yes, Mrs. Cleaver, I would be glad to take out the garbage for you, Mrs. Cleaver. And Mrs. Cleaver, anything that I can do to help you, you know I would do it, Mrs. Cleaver. And what fine sons you have raised, Mrs. Cleaver. I'm very, very impressed." Okay, I got the message. But still, there is something about hearing your own name. There's something about someone remembering your name. And there's something, when the chips are down, about hearing someone say your name with feeling. So Mary's there at the tomb. She's weeping. She sees a guy there. She thinks it's the gardener. I mean, she's followed Jesus for years, and she thinks this is the gardener. Why? Is it because she's weeping, because the tears have filled her eyes, she can't see straight? Or is it because she just can't get her head around the whole idea that death isn't the end, that maybe there's more, that resurrection could even be a possibility? And then she hears her name, Mary. And for her, it's not seeing that's believing, it's hearing that's believing. It's hearing her Lord say her name. Now this Eastertide, we're reading all the resurrection passages, and we're especially focusing on the moment in each story where the person gets it, where they realize what's happened, where they realize that Jesus isn't in the tomb anymore, that he's alive. A couple of weeks ago on Easter Day, it was the rolling away of the stone and seeing the empty grave clothes. Last Sunday, we talked about Jesus becoming known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And today it's the saying of Mary's name, hearing her name. If only we could hear Jesus say our names. Mary, Brian, Caitlin, Randy, Cynthia. If only we could hear Jesus saying our name. I like to think that we have all heard Jesus saying our name. Maybe we didn't realize it at the time. I think we hear it in our baptism. Now maybe it's the people in the robes up front who are pouring the water that are actually voicing the words. But we're just voicing the same words that God spoke to Jesus at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved son, Evan. This is my beloved daughter, Kimberly. And you, I'm well pleased. I like to think if any of us had been really listening at our baptism, we would have heard not just the pastor's voice, but Jesus' voice calling us by name. And I think, too, that maybe if there are other times in our lives, we might hear our names being spoken as well. Times like Mary experienced there, times where you are, whether you're weeping on the outside or on the inside, times where you feel like your world has come to an end. Like is happening right now, so many of our high school seniors are waiting to hear from the colleges that they've applied to. And for some of them, they have their hearts set on that one place that is the college of their dreams. And the envelope arrives, and they look at it, and they don't even have to open it because it's a thin envelope with one paper in it. And for them, it feels like the end of the line, but their dream's over. It's second best for the rest of their lives. But 6 months later, they find themselves at some other place, some other institution of learning, and chances are most of them, the vast majority of them will say, will not be able to imagine being anywhere else. And they'll find that their lives are going on and their lives are going to be just fine. And somewhere along the line, I think if they'd been listening, they would have heard Jesus calling them by name. Or when a relationship ends, whether you're 16 or 36 or 66, and you think, that's it. I've known love once. I'll never know it again. It's always going to be lonely. It'll just be me. But somehow, somewhere, weeks, months, maybe longer, seasons later, you find out, No, whether it's a new partner, a new lover, or just a friendship that matters, you find, no, the rest of your life will not be endlessly lonely. There's still life ahead. There's still a life to be lived. And I like to think that somewhere along the line, if you'd really been listening, you would have heard Jesus calling your name, Mary, calling you to a new day and a new life. And even when that final loss comes, when you stand, as Mary did, next to the grave, and it feels like everything is indeed over, and that there are no good days ahead of you, they're all behind. And yet, somehow, again, days, weeks, seasons ahead, somehow you learn to laugh again. That ache is always there. It's always there. But there's laughter. There can be gladness. There can be life alongside. And I think again that if you were listening, you'd hear Jesus calling your name. Liz had a really lovely phrase when she was telling us what it was like for Mary. She talked about listening with the ears of the heart. You know, we're not likely to hear a voice. We're not. But when we listen with the ears of the heart, I think we can hear the echo of that voice we first heard at our baptism. You are my beloved son, my beloved daughter. In you, I am well pleased. And you will hear Jesus call you by name. Pray with me. Lord, for just a moment, let us suspend our skepticism and our disbelief and just imagine. Imagine what it would be like to hear your Son, the Lord of life, the giver of every good gift, who is himself the resurrection and the life, to hear him calling our names. In the name of our risen Savior, amen.